Blog Talk Radio. Welcome once again to Madame Perry Salon, the podcast that loves you, the podcast, and I can say this with tonight's guest, the podcast with more celebrities than the inauguration. I am your host, your cruise director, and your groove mistress, Madame Perry, but you can call me Jen, Jennifer, JP, Perry. I just am glad to be here and glad that you are too. Thank you so much. Oh, and to everybody who's been subscribing on different platforms now, especially now that I'm on Spotify and iHeartRadio, and people who have been kind enough to leave reviews on Stitcher and Apple iTunes saying the things that you like, I appreciate that because it takes time. And it means that you're liking stuff on the show, and it lets me know what to bring you, who else to bring you, and I appreciate that so much. We've been having so much fun, and by the way, yes, for anybody that asked, the winners of the book by Matt Coyle and Julie E. Blomicky, there were winners drawn, and it was done in a fabulous video by my friend Tony Ballard Smoot and his total cosplay Star Trek costume and the spaceship and everything. No, you cannot have him. He is in a relationship. But there were winners of that, Kenya Colbert and Keith Allen Hayes. Also, recently we've had, this has been so much fun, last week Dave Koz, the saxophonist Dave Koz was here. He's got a brand new CD called A New Day. It's great. We've also had Jen Lancaster. She's got a great new book called Welcome to the United States of Anxiety. And I've been a fan of her since her first book called Bitter is the New Black. We also had Arden Marin, who you may know from, as Regina Sinclair on Insatiable, and she was also in Shameless, Mad TV, and all kinds of stuff. Arden was so much fun. And the marquee, Michael Daybar, how could we forget that? He's got a new video, there's a documentary out about him called Who Do You Want Me to Be? And I did not know until I saw it that he was the co-writer of that song by Anna Motion. Yeah, the Who Do You Want Me to Be? So Michael Daybar, yeah, watch the video. It's on Amazon Prime. He was a lot of fun. And we got cool stuff coming up for you, but I got to say, tonight's guest, if I tell you, if I read all about what she's done and why you know her and why she's so fabulous and famous, then the show would be over and you wouldn't get to meet her. So I am so psyched tonight. She's creator, host, executive producer of Uncabaret, which is called a comedy bee-in by Rolling Stone. Vanity Fair said there's nothing cooler, and the L.A. Times called her the godmother of alternative comedy. She's a writer for radio, television, magazines. She's written a book of haikus. She's an actress, producer. She's everything that a girl like me wish she could have been, even a little bit of. So let me welcome here into the genie bottle that is Madame Perry Salon. Here she comes. Well, that's a nice little appearance sound. The magnificent, gorgeous, and brilliantly funny Beth Lapidus. Beth, welcome to Madame Perry Salon.
Well, hello.
Hello. I'm so glad you're here. Can you understand my accent? Because I couldn't afford subtitles.
I can't afford your afford. I can't afford it, and I can understand it. I can afford to understand it. Sure I can. Do people tell you they can't understand it? Do people say they can't understand your accent?
Well, I used to have, when I was working in the corporate world, once in a while I'd have bosses from the Midwest who would say, who would mock the way we talk here. You can probably tell I'm from Atlanta. I know you heard me first and thought, what, New York? But no, they would make fun of us. And I'd be thinking, you came down here to work. We didn't ask you. So, but anyway.
Exactly. Expand your mind, people. Expand your mind.
Seriously.
Open
Seriously.
Your ears. Open your eyes. Get with
people. Honestly,
are so parochial.
You know, the more, just like my husband says, the more different kinds of people you have in the life, the more fun it is. You know, if you're with everybody that had the same experiences or whatever as you, that would be rather dull, eh? So,
no, yes, easy and dull. Easy and dull. That's why we moved to the big city. I mean, I think I do think that the variety of experience is the greatest thing about life. I mean, it's, you don't want to narrow yourself like that. So anyway, I love your accent. And by the end of it, I may be sounding a little Hotlanta myself.
Hotlanta. Have you ever been here?
I have never been to Hotlanta.
Oh my God. Well, you know, when Ard Marin was on, she said they filmed the show Insatiable here.
Yeah. A lot of shows. And I know I have friends coming in and out of Atlanta all the time. I mean, so much, there's so much work there. It's the new Vancouver.
Yeah. Yes, it is. And in fact, I used to work a lot, you know, but now it's starting to come back now. Now all the agencies are saying.
It is starting. It's starting. Well, we don't know. We don't know what's happening. It looks like it's starting, but maybe it's ending. It might be right in the middle.
We have no idea.
Listen, Jen, we have no idea what's happening. Viewers, listeners, we don't know. We do not know. This is the greatest thing about this time right now is the uncertainty. And it's so shocking. You know, you think of all the survivalist skills you might have thought you needed to learn, how to start a fire with two twigs or, you know, climb a mountain on your hands or build a tent with your, you know, fishnets and eyeliner. I don't know. You know, all the things you thought, this is what I need to be able to survive. And then the main thing you need to be able to survive is an ability to live with uncertainty. Like, that is the main skill that it turns out that you need to have at this point. Patience. You need to have patience and an ability to stay home and an ability to not know and not be freaked out about not knowing. So, I mean, and it's a very spiritual lesson. I mean, we're being given all this opportunity for spiritual growth amongst everything else, and it's so freaking hard. I mean, you know, America's losing its mind because we don't want to just sit there, and it's super hard. We're bored. We're bored, Jen. We're bored.
Bored out of our rabid ass minds. We're bored, is what it is.
We want to go out. We want to see people. We need.
We
want to
party. We
want to
get down. We want to dance.
Yeah, it feels so weird anytime I go out of the bubble. I'm just like, I'll just be back in my little pod. I'm just going back to the pod.
I know. It's like this little place I used to started going to. It was fairly new. It's a little club around Chambly, Georgia. And, you know, they had live music, little restaurant, it's a nice older gay couple that run it. And in the back room, they have a drag queen, Miss Lauren, who runs the blackjack, and all the proceeds go to a dog rescue. And that was my thing. Miss Lauren taught me how to play blackjack, and we have a good time. Then you go out and dance for a while and come back, and it's like, I don't know. And booking agents, you know, they're sending out the messages like, hey, you want to come work on this? And by the way, we'll give you a COVID test, and they'll even pay you to take a COVID test. You know, which is nice.
I mean, it's one thing in production. I mean, TV shows and film are starting back up, and that seems possible. That does seem possible because it's such a controlled environment. But live shows, live theater with an audience that can't be controlled. I mean, you know, not until there's a vaccine and a cure, really, in my humble opinion, not for me, at least. So that's why we started doing Zoom shows. I mean, you know, we started doing Zoom shows in March. I mean, we were doing Zoom shows. Our first Zoom show was on March 29th. And so we just went right immediately to Zoom. And it's been interesting. You know, on Cabaret, it's always been an experiment. It's been avant-garde. It's been cutting edge. It's been all those things while it's been funny. And it's always been funny, but it's also been, you know, trying to break new ground in what that means. And so for us, it was very natural. And intimacy, conversation, these are things that I love and the show's always been about. So in a way, Zoom was very, we were able to adapt easily to Zoom, and it served us well, and it continues to be okay, because you have a great laugh and I also have a great laugh. I'm not laughing now because I'm yakking, but for the show, I mean, it's so great for people to hear the host laughing, and that fills in a lot for, you know, the audience. So
yes,
it's
it
been
does.
Fun.
Yeah, there was one, and on the and was one of the Zoom on Cabaret. It was the Sklar brothers. We're talking about Richard Simmons.
No, that wasn't on Zoom. That was we did a series for Amazon. We did that we shot. And I don't know, I'm trying to think what year, I'm so bad at that. But I think it was maybe 2013 or 14. We did a series that they were on. And it's funny, they've been in my head. I have running gag with them because I just, like, don't get sports. I'm just like, why would anyone watch sports? And, of course, the Sklars are like, they're sports central, and they're like, it's life, you know, Beth, it's like so unpredictable, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen. I'm like, but that is life. That, like, that's life itself. You don't need sports to tell you that life is unpredictable. Anything can happen, Beth. I'm like, I know, that's how life is. You just live your life and anything can happen. And everything they would say to try to convince me to do that sports is fun, I'm like, but that's how life is. I mean, I get it. I mean, there's a certain sort of, you know, it's the joy of anything that has a form, and you pour yourself into the form. And I've enjoyed tennis, and, you know, but they're just so rabid about it. But they have, that's a funny story though they tell about Richard Simmons. I mean, you know, celebrity run-ins. That's classic on Cabaret topic. I mean, it's classic.
I should have realized it was Zoom because I could see the whole audience and see you there. You know, I was just
You could see the audience and they're on a stage.
And not like the Brady Bunch stuff talking to you up there.
Well, one thing I actually love about Zoom is it's not so Brady Bunchy. I mean, everybody's at home basically, and I encourage people, and everyone doesn't do it. Sometimes people have a funny image they want to use, and it kind of helps. But we generally don't have people in just front of, like, a fake stage wall or something. So everyone's in their home, and you kind of – it tells a story. It's part of the story, and it's very intimate when you see people in their living room or in their bedroom. Or I remember I was talking to – Byron Bowers was on the show a couple weeks ago, and I just looked at him, and – I just said, is that a vision board behind your head? And he just seems like the least likely person to have a vision board. And he's like, mm-hmm. And then he just, like, gave us a tour of his vision board. Really funny.
That is, because
so
I've seen,
great.
I think that's the one where I've seen you, like, you're sitting on some stairs, you got some candles behind you, like a
nice
warm
staircase. Yeah, we have the candles, and then we also, on the other side of the stairs, have the little, you know, those little lights that were from the set of our 25th anniversary show at the Ace Theater at the Ace Hotel, which was super fun. So those have a little bit of history for us. And you know, it wasn't really that well thought out, the staircase. It was just really, like, how far does the cord go, was kind of like like where what can be, like, a picture of a house that doesn't, like, you know, I'm not going to worry about the pile of papers on the dining room table. And it also really needed to be near the piano, because Mitch, the way we've done the workaround, it's very tricky to do music on Zoom. It's comedy. We've all figured it out a little bit, but Zoom has like a mini delay, and it makes any kind of music super difficult unless you're in the room with the person. So Mitch can't be playing for somebody in another, you know, it can't be like a singer on one screen. And we've done it a little bit with people with business, like bare bones background. And it was even tricky to figure out how Mitch and I could do music in the same room and have it sound good on Zoom. But we've been really great. We were super fortunate. I mean, everything is teamwork. I mean, you realize now also when there's no tech guy and there's no tech gal, there's no tech people. It's like you're doing it yourself. Mm-hmm. But we do have a great Zoom team. And it took us a couple of shows to fine-tune it, and we keep getting it better and better and better. But, you know. Anyway, we have our tech now. We have our system. And I love the staircase because number one, at this point, you only change things you need to change. Everything's so uncertain. It's like I did the poster blue. We did it blue instead of pink one week. And I was like, why did I change that? Like, don't change anything. Everything is so crazy. Leave everything as it is unless you have to change it. So, but I love the stairs because they're sort of a symbol for this transitional time we're in, you know. Like the perfect place. It's like, you know, there's this word, this fancy word, liminal. I love that word so much. And it means like an in-between space, like a hallway or a foyer or, you know, any sort of space that's a space that you walk through. A vaginal canal would be a liminal space. I love being on the stairs because they sort of represent this kind of idea that through being in this in-between space, you can elevate to another level. And it's the semiotics of the space, but I do love it. I wish they were a different color, but somehow I haven't been able to accomplish painting the staircase pink yet. But that would be my dream, a pink staircase.
Well, yeah, but it looks good. You look so elegant in the light and everything. It's like, oh,
it's so thank glam. You. Oh yes, it's so glamorous. I put on the sequins. I love to get dressed up, you know. It gives me reason to get dressed up.
Oh yeah, that's one of the things that does everything I see. For you know, you've got great boots, great shoes, sequins, some short dresses. You know, you dress up, and I always thought about, you know, some people kind of. I guess it's too. It has to do with your comedy persona. How you dress. But
it's also has to do with my comedy persona. My comedy persona just comes from who I really am. And who I really am is somebody who loves to get dressed up. And there are pictures of me in the sandbox as a young girl wearing a party dress. How crazy. I must have driven my mother, you know, like ironing. Why do I have to iron your dresses that you play in the sandbox in? But I always say, you know, if people ask me why I'm so overdressed, I just tell them I'm going somewhere better. And then I go somewhere better.
Well, listen, I was going to say, at this point, this is a good time to say, if you're listening to us live tonight, which is October 21st, 2020 at 8:18 p.m. Eastern, 5:15 Pacific, and you want to talk to Beth Lapidus, you can give us a call at 646-716-9922. It's a toll-free call in the continental U.S. So 646-716-9922. Or for people who, and this has happened to, I think, most all of us at some time or another, Beth, where you're listening and you got something to say, but you're at some kind of a day job or someplace where you got to be quiet, just send it to me on a message on Facebook, either through Madame Perry Salon or Jennifer Maudette Perry, and I will be happy to share it with Beth. So, I should have known the Sklar's thing. When you were, because you're in the audience and you say things like the Sklar's were telling the story about being in the airport and Richard Simmons and then getting on the plane and there were all these celebrities and then about Richard Simmons and then the thumb. And then you said, how long did he suck your thumb? You know?
I have questions. So, yeah, that back mic, that has just always kept the show super you know, conversational. It's always been my thing is, you know, comedy is, I don't know, I just love it. I just love the conversation. And I try to do it really only so it helps everybody. So that's my thing.
Hey, so there's somebody here that wants to talk to you, Beth Lapidus.
All right.
Cabaret. Hi, welcome to Madame Perry's Salon. You're here with me and Beth Lapidus. So just come in and introduce yourself.
Hey, Jennifer. Hey, Beth. It's Leonard from Oregon. How are you doing today?
Great, doing Leonard. Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm a big fan of the Uncabaret, and I have been following it on the online incarnation. So I know over the years you've been a big fan of Dana Gould. I think in that special that you did, you called him the mailman because he delivers.
Did I? I might have.
Yeah. Yeah. But have you got any other performers that you're partial to? I mean, that I know you like all of them, but I mean, that are your favorites.
I mean, I have to say, if I'm not partial to someone, you don't see them on the show. I mean, that's not
right.
True. I take that back because there are definitely people I'm partial to that I try to book that I can't get on the show because they're so busy. But I love everyone. I really do love everyone. And in different situations, different people are, you know, available and shine more. I mean, over the years, I can tell you I miss Taylor Negron desperately.
He was great.
You know, a joy. But, you know, everyone we're working with now, Alex Edelman has been amazing, is, you know, a younger, newer face, and he's been amazing in the Zooms. I think Jamie Bridgers is also newer, but Isaac Mizrahi is new to us, obviously not a new personality, and I've been loving him. Byron Bowers, who I just mentioned. Oh, geez. You know, Alec Mappa is great. Judy Gold has been great. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see Guy Branum this week. He hasn't been with us on the Zooms yet. Lorraine Newman is going to be on this week. Julia Sweeney. I mean, Julia Sweeney is just, you know, Margaret Cho, I adore. Erin Foley is a dream. What a peach that girl is. Jen Kirkman, Justin Thayer. One of the things that keeps me going is how much I love everyone who does the show, and it does bring me great joy to get to hang out with everybody.
What I really like is that you keep the show lively enough by your feedback so you sort of get the cut of the comic's jib, whether they're going to be able to come back with anything when you challenge them on something.
But everybody's pretty quick, aren't they? You don't see too many people fall. So, I mean, every now and then there's somebody who doesn't work that way, but I love, and I just will just pull back because I know, you know, different people, some people really come on knowing what their thing is and what they're going to say. And as a good host, then you just kind of, you know, give them their space and love them for that if it's someone you love. And it's nice that you've followed us through the years and the audience.
Yeah, you bet.
Part of what Uncabaret is. I mean, it's the audience that it really helped make the show what it is. It's not something that would exist without the audience. So thank you.
Yeah. One other thing, and I'll get off. The show that you did called Other Festival.
The other network. Yeah, the other network.
Other network. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You covered failed pilots, pretty much. Is that right? I mean, pilots
well,
that didn't
I
get
didn't
on the
like
air.
I didn't like to call them failed. I would just say you know, pilots that then didn't go on to series. The pilots themselves were also often quite successful, but the shows did not proceed. Yeah.
The Trio Network did a series called Brilliant but Canceled, where they were talking about what they would show is pilots that were good and just didn't get picked up for whatever the reason.
Yeah, that was what we did, and then they did it. I'll just say that.
Did you ever see the pilot that Charlie Kaufman did called How and Why that was about a science show?
No, I never have seen that. That sounds fascinating.
Yeah, John Hawkes was the star of it. And what happened was he was hosting the science show that got canceled on public television. And so he goes back to this small town that he was growing up in and does it on a very low budget basis. I mean, does the same show. And so
that
sounds
very Kaufman.
Yeah, it does. It's sort of like a recreation, except I guess it would be like Synecdoche, New York, except in reverse, where it's a smaller version of the show instead of the bigger, progressively bigger one. How about Lookwell? Did you cover that one, the one that Conan O'Brien
did
with Adam West?
Yes, we did cover Lookwell. And one of the features of the other network was not just showing the thing, but what I was really interested in was the story behind the thing, how it was made, what happened, what were the reasons it didn't go, what were the notes, what was the response to the notes, all of that. And I was so interested in the story, as I always am, about the creative process. We did do Lookwell, and I was fortunate enough to go to New York and sit with Conan, and he was so gracious. And it was, he said, sure, yeah, I'll do an interview. And then he said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, I don't know, we could do it here or there. He said, well, I need to do it on the set. And he was like, well, who's going to shoot it? I was like, well, we can bring it. Why don't we just have the guys from the show do it? And they were just so generous and so lovely. Aww. And it was so much fun to talk to. And we did actually tour around with a version of the show, which was filmed interviews. And then, it was like three to do a show. And it would tour as we did it live in Los Angeles, of course. And then it toured a little bit around the country and a little bit to Canada, various independent theaters. And that was always a big, everybody, of course, wants to see Lookwell. And it was, he has so many great things to say about that. Yeah. We showed that one. That's a classic. That's probably one of the most classic.
You know who I saw on that pilot was John Rigi, and he stopped doing stand-up
completely.
Yeah,
he makes a little appearance in there. Yeah. Funny John Rigi, yeah. Love
yeah, one of my favorite stand-ups, and then all of a sudden he just stopped. I was sorry to see it.
Yeah. John is – there's actually an episode of Life and Beth, my podcast, which I've stopped doing, but the archive remains. There's a great episode with John Rigi to go listen to if you love John. And, a lot of stand-ups stop stand-up because you get to a level and you've done the Tonight Show and you've done the – late night circuit, and then what are you going to, it's sort of a slog, and that's where a lot of TV writers come from, because you hit a certain point, and it's not a great life touring unless you're just, one of the 15 enormous names, so.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. He did something I had never seen somebody do, is the crowd called him back for an encore one night in Marietta, on the north side of Atlanta. And he came out and said, I don't really have any material in mind. Just give me a topic. And he riffed on about three different topics for about 5 minutes a piece.
Yeah.
And I thought, I guess it's a pretty rare gift that you can actually do that. But somebody said shoes, and he did 5 minutes on shoes.
Yeah, he's funny. That's
John.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, anyway,
Leonard, I got to say before you go, I had seen Leonard used to live in Atlanta, and I saw him perform several times. So let me know if this is true or not. I've seen you perform where you did the joke in French.
That was me. Yep.
And by the time you got to the punchline, you had people laughing. Did you really speak French?
Kind of a pigeon high school level, like non-idiomatic French, yeah.
It sounds good, because I used to do a duo act sometimes. When I had my jazz band, I would do a duo act with a guy named Doug who played. He played with me, but he also played with George Clinton sometimes. So he was really out there. So he would try to stump me a lot. And so then he told the audience once, we're going to do Autumn Leaves. And guess what? Jennifer can sing it in French, and he starts it.
And did you do it?
I did it, and I it worked until I got to the very end, and I ran out of things I needed to put together, and I came up with the very last part of Frère Jacques, and then it was blown. But it was at the end, you know. And then...
yeah, you know, you could have done that. You could have just used the lyrics to Frère Jacques, you know, and sung Autumn Leaves.
Oh, yeah.
That would have worked.
You know, I didn't say, you know, what time is it? And I could ask that, or what day is it today? So I kept on. So anyway, yes, Beth, I was a total fraud, but it worked almost.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you could have.
Well, it's show business, you know.
It's the Business Week All Show. Yes, it is. All right.
Yeah, hey, you would have tricked me, I'm sure.
I doubt it. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Leonard.
Well, thanks so much. It's nice to talk to you. And we'll see
you
on Sunday.
Nice to talk to you, Beth. Okay.
You too.
Bye.
All right.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart. Have you ever gotten into anything like that where you were just kind of on the fly and weren't really sure how it was going to end?
Oh, my God, sure. I mean, really, most stand-ups have. I mean, you can't really proceed in stand-up unless you have the gift of gab. And not to say that everyone can, but... it's one of those things. Yeah. Just, yeah.
You know, we were talking about the Zoom, about, you know, seeing someone's bedroom with their vision board or whatever with Brian. And I thought about, yeah, this is a whole different thing in so many ways. But, of course, you know, we adapt and we find new ways of doing our show. And I've noticed that last few weeks, you know, Mike Kaplan was, he was my guest here a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So now every Friday night about 10 o'clock, he starts a live video on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And it's him and I think Liz Glazer. But every week you see, you know, he used to have a mustache. Now he's getting this big porn stash. And it's like,
oh, really?
It's like the kind of brush you used to brush suede shoes with or something. It's getting bigger and bigger. And his hair gets longer.
I can't picture him with a mustache. He was clean shaven for a long time. Didn't he always have a mustache?
Well, I don't, you know what?
Are you saying
think
he just has like a COVID mustache? I don't think
it's
so.
COVID.
I always in my head call him Mick because his name is spelled that way, M-Y-K, M-Y-Q. And I'm like, and then when I hear people say Mike Kaplan, I'm like, who's Mike Kaplan?
Who?
I respond.
Never heard of
Mick. But,
I think it did just come about with COVID. I think you're right. And
I think it's some COVID face hair. Yeah. I think it's some COVID face hair for sure. Well, we're all like, you know, we're all overgrown. That's for sure.
So now the Zoom, the Uncabaret, the Zoom version. Now, where can people see it, find it, check it out if they don't know it already?
They can see it on the second and fourth Sundays of the month on Zoom. Tickets are on Eventbrite, and there are free tickets, there are paid tickets, and we welcome either come at whatever level. There's tickets from $0 to $100. There's a VIP after show for the expensive ticket buyers. There's free tickets. People come for free and then donate sometimes. And, you know, it's just a very, we want you to be there if you need to be there kind of situation. And then people who want to support the show. And it seems to work out.
Okay.
So that you can go to uncabaret.com, uncabaret.com. And there's links to those Eventbrite tickets there. There's also an email list you can sign up for, and I send out emails, and I usually send out a little bit of writing with those emails, give you a reason to open up those emails, and lineups and links to we've been doing some fun merch. We did an I'm Speaking t-shirt like before the vice presidential debate was even over. We did an I'm Screaming Inside My Heart face masks when the Japanese, I don't know if you remember this, but one moment, I mean, it's all moving so fast and there's so many moments, but there was this one moment where the Japanese government opened up amusement parks, but then suggested that people, when they go on the roller coaster, scream inside their hearts.
Oh,
and
yes.
A number of people reached out to me and said, I thought of you immediately when I heard this. Like, who am I? That's what people are thinking of. What, you know, anyway, but I when, as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh my God, I have to turn that into a mask. So we did masks and t-shirts, actually beautiful t-shirts with that on it. And the masks are great. And and that stuff's all up there, and the information about the workshops and the email lists and the tickets. Anyway, the tickets, I usually also publish the meeting number and the password on social media the day of the show. So that's also a way for people to find us. And yeah.
And what I'll do too is, because sometimes people tell me they listen while they're driving or running or something to the show. So just in case you can't write it down, I will make sure that I will include links on all of my social media, whether it's Instagram, LinkedIn, Reddit, Pinterest, Twitter.
Oh, Reddit.
Facebook.
We haven't penetrated on Reddit yet. I mean, Reddit is a mystery to me. I don't get Reddit at all.
No, let me tell you, I feel like I do well with social media. I feel like I understand it, I grasp it, I know how to use it. But somehow Reddit to me comes off being the Dr. Sheldon Cooper of social media, because I'm going along fine. You know, Sheldon from Big Bang Theory. I'm going along fine, doing and having a good time. And then I start getting messages that I'm locked out. I've offended somebody. You know, I'm in trouble. I'm penalized for a couple of days. But anyway, I've got somebody else here that wants to talk to you. And if you want to talk to Beth, the number is 646-716-9922. Reddit's kind of rough.
Reddit, man.
Reddit, seriously.
The Reddit thing, yeah. All right.
You're getting hit with the jive, sister. Hey, this is Madam Perry Salon. Welcome. You are here with me and with Beth Lapita. So come on in. Introduce yourself. Say hello.
Hi there, Jen and Beth. It's Belle Gold here. How are you two doing?
Great. Belle, how are you?
I'm good. I like your story about the roller coaster. I just popped in on it. The idea that I need to be hurtling down a mountain at 130 miles an hour in order to scream inside my heart is an interesting one. I think you could.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I mean, who needs it anyway? But right now, I just was like, that's crazy.
Yeah, no, I was listening to you guys. You were telling some cool stories. I like the one about the picking up different languages or whatnot.
Bill, where are you calling from?
I'm in New York right now.
All right.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Uncabaret yet?
No, I haven't, but I know you wanted me to check out the podcast tonight, so here I am.
Yeah, good. So you haven't heard about the Japanese screaming inside? Yeah, I'm screaming inside my heart and the mask.
Mm-hmm. I came in around when you guys were talking about bluffing through the French language.
Oh. Well, that I've never done that. I would never try to perform in another language besides the English. That would be foolhardy.
Yeah, gibberish maybe.
Maybe not. Maybe never.
I don't know. Now, Eddie Izzard said that he studied French. We could do that.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah. And then
he
studied Arabic,
mm-hmm.
too, for that, to perform comedy. But I just feel like no matter what, I would find some way to offend somebody accidentally.
Well, I think you were talking a little about this with Reddit. I hope it hasn't, but I'm sure it's probably happened to you, Beth. Being a comedian, that's almost the most dangerous thing there is. It's almost impossible, if not impossible, to write solid without offending anybody at all, ever.
Well, that's not true, really.
Oh, good.
I don't know. Maybe. I know everybody's very up in arms about being... There's so much material that's just so much about... If you come from your own personal experience, it doesn't really offend people. I mean, people cannot like it, but... Mm-hmm. But if you're talking about your experience of life, there's, I do get offended by material. So, I'm not one to say people should just be tougher, but.
I'm an HSP, highly sensitive person. So don't think that's not the direction I'm trying to stick you in. I promise.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it was nice to talk to you.
Okay.
You as well.
Thanks.
Good luck with
Thanks so much for
show.
Calling, Belle. Okay, good
sure.
night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, it's so funny. One of the videos about on Cabaret and the little slice mm-hmm. of Andy Dick saying when he goes into a restaurant, he doesn't want to look up and make eye contact because he knows people see him and shake their head.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Andy is so problematic because he's, you know, so bad and he's really hurt a lot of people. But it's just so incredibly talented. It's just crazy working with him over the years. Yeah.
When when you put together the shows for especially for the Zoom, I mean, how do you choose? Is it going to be basically the same people, maybe one or two different on every show, or do you just
well,
people
we
work better
into,
together?
Yeah, we settled into a kind of home group where we have Alec Mappa, Alex Edelman, Julia Sweeney, and Jamie Bridgers are the kind of base camp. And they're not all there all the time. I mean, on any given week, probably three of them are there, though sometimes all four of them. And then we rotate around another group of people who have been there a couple of times. And sometimes, you know, somebody will drop in just for once. And I try to really keep it. It seems like a very nice mix to have more than in the live shows, where it really was like a different group of five every night. But the Uncapped's always been about a rotating group where like a posse that rotates through. The original group of Uncabaret really was me, Taylor, and Judy Toll. That was a few months. But then the group that really made the show as it's known, we landed at Luna Park. And that group included Taylor and Judy and Bob Odenkirk, David Cross, Patton Oswalt, Margaret Cho, Julia Sweeney, Kathy Griffin, Laura Keitlinger, Andy Kindler, Andy Dix, Jeff Garlin. It was a really amazing group, and it was a very cohesive. Oh, Scott Thompson from Kids in the Hall. It was a cohesive group. There were others that came in and out. But that group, Bob Goldthwait was part of that group, and Janine Garofalo. And it really was about people becoming familiar with sort of regulars and experiencing a sense of the ongoing story of people. That it has a certain sort of serialness to it, not a soap opera, because I don't want to, but a little bit of a soap opera, like what's mm-hmm. happening now with that person. And it was in the day, people were even more forthcoming because there was no social media. It was mm-hmm. just a live show in a live room, and people really told like everything. And people are more guarded now all throughout. I mean, both more open and more guarded. It's a funny thing what's happened over the past 20 years. But I love the mix of, you know, having a group that the audience knows. And for me, too, you know, that I know it has a feeling of consistency, but at the same time, special guests. I mean, this week, I mean, Guy hasn't done it yet, the Zoom show, and Lorraine Newman has only done on Cab once. And So, you know, we do try to keep it moving and bring in special guests. And we also have the band is very, you know, regularly there. But just so you know, you have a good feeling of logging into something that you feel comfortable with. And you, I mean, Julie is always going to say something different, but you're familiar with what the journey is, or I mean, journey, if we could only come up with a different word for journey, but you know, you're familiar with the story and you're familiar with what's happening. And so I love that mix. That's my favorite.
Excuse me. I swallowed my water just a little differently. I was watching the Uncabaret at Luna Park in 1997.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That was the Comedy Central special, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, on the website, and you tell, you know, they tell stories about who was involved in the taping and some trivia and so forth about it. Was that something you'd want to do again, like the outdoor show like that?
It wasn't an outdoor show. It was definitely not an outdoor show. We just did outdoor interstitials. We had a campfire and did the outdoor interstitials.
Okay, that's right. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I definitely am not. I'm very suspect of outdoor comedy. I mean, I know a lot of people are doing outdoor shows now, and I say God bless. And I, you know, I never say never, and maybe there's a way, but outdoor comedy is super challenging. I mean, outdoor music is a delight, but outdoor comedy I have always found to be less so. Let's just say that. Less than a delight. Because, you know, it's words. And really, if you're designing a comedy space, you want to design a space with low ceilings and very little space. You want everyone as jammed into the space as can possibly be. You want a little room, you know, and if it's a big room, that's fine too, but you want an intimate room. I mean, when we did on Cabaret Anniversary Show, that's an 1800 seat room, which is not, you know, it's not an arena. It's, you know, you're not performing for 25,000 people, but it still was, that theater was very intimate. It was the original United Artists Theater, which is a gorgeous theater in Los Angeles. You know, from the day downtown Los Angeles, one of these beautiful theaters that was built in the golden age of Hollywood. And I love the idea that it was the United Artists Theater that gave me such a good feeling. And I love the fact that it was in a hotel too. I love the Ace Hotel. I love their vibe. I love their you know, chicness. So you know, that's what you're really looking for when you're looking for space for comedy, and outdoor comedy provides nothing of that. But what you're also looking for with comedy is an ability to do it somewhere. And outdoors right now does have that going for it. And some people are experimenting with it. And, you know, I'm all for experimenting. And if people can find a way to do it, then that's great. I mean, Dave Chappelle did that outdoor set. It was certainly interesting. You know, for me to perform for an audience sitting in masks, I don't know. I'm not there. I'm not there.
You know, I said in the beginning that, you know, you've written for O Magazine and so many people.
Time, and El Decor, and all sorts of masks.
Do you still do that? Yeah, I think I had a question coming. Do you still enjoy that? You write about, you know, writing, creativity, life, all sorts of things.
Sure. I mean, I write all the time. The magazine work comes and goes. The magazine business is, of course, a challenging business. I'm not out pitching articles. That's not my bread and butter. I have had some lovely opportunities to do that. I had a column in Premier Magazine for a while that was a series that was like a movie film, like a festival. Like when we didn't, this was before Netflix. It was like how to make your own film festival kind of ideas. I had a column in a syndicated yoga column called My Other Car is a Yoga Mat. So I'm I'm working on an original audiobook now that will be out at some point next year, maybe early 2021, or hopefully not after mid 2021. But I'm right in the middle of that, and that's what I'm working on writing right now. So people can look for that. It's going to be super fun and involves a lot of people, different voices, and big topic. That's all I can say about that for now, but that is my current writing project. I've written, you know, so that's anyway, that's what I'm writing now.
Yeah, and you got such a variety. Well, obviously, I'm sure you have a variety of interests, and you write well about all. In HuffPost, 12 ways your small business might be huge, and your book of haikus, Did I Wake You? Cues for Modern Living from Soft Soul Press.
Well, that was just actually, I did Uncab Ray for all these years, and one of the things that Uncab was not doing an act, it was just doing your life, you know, bringing your life. And but you know, for other people, they would come on, you know, once a month or twice a month, maybe. But I was on every week processing my, I mean, I didn't even ever get to sort of finesse anything because it was like new material every week. And finally, I was like, I know there's got to be a book in there. And I took it into my office and I was like, you know, the stack of paper like 2 feet high. And I was like, well, all right, I'm going to just read this through and I'm going to find my book. And then at the end, I'm just like going to take a highlighter and circle all the good parts. And then I realized that I'd written inadvertently like hundreds of haiku, that like my stand up was written in haiku meter. And so I published it as a haiku book. But I'm working on the memoir, of course, always working on the memoir. And, you know, I have really only one topic, and that topic is life. You know, I'm an observer of life and creativity because I'm an artist in life, and I create, and I'm interested in the process. And so I write about that process, and I teach a writing and performing workshop, and that's been ongoing. And I've written about, you know, creativity topics because I have this information, and just, you know, sometimes you just so sitting in your head and you're like, just get it out of my head. So you write it down. And so those are the things I've written about are my story. You know, for the most part, I've just written my story, my experience with life. I dove into yoga pretty deeply and what it means to live as a yogi. And for El Decor, I wrote about Palm Springs, where I lived for in and out for a while, and what it's like to vacation there. And you know, I've written about that kind of stuff. I don't even think about that. I write about different things. I don't have a topic. It's not like, oh, I'm a sports writer, or I definitely do not write about sports. But really, it's about the experience of change. I mean, every story is about change. I mean, any good story is about being changed. And so that's what I've written about, whatever the title is. That's always the topic.
Your website, BethLapidus.com, and then there's also uncabaret.com. So I'm going to send people to those places to find out more, because God knows we need you now. Goddess knows we need you now. We don't need to all be screaming inside our hearts. We need the good vibes that you provide for us, you, and then you recruit all your friends.
You.
So for people to know, you can see Uncab Array, the Zoom version, on the second and fourth Sundays of the month. Eventbrite has the tickets. I will make sure that on all my social media I share how you can go to Eventbrite, or so you won't miss an episode.
Thank you. Yeah, it's every other, it's like, you know, twice a month, just enough to keep you charged up with endorphins and laughing. And it's been amazing. I've just gotten so many letters from people who are like, I don't know how I'd be getting through this without you. And really the endorphins and people, it's been sweet. It's been really, I mean, I love it. I wouldn't do it if I didn't love it. I love hearing from the people that are on the show, and people have really been showing up, and it's fun. Give it a shot.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Giving us your time. I hope someday you'll come back to the genie bottle here, Beth Lapidus.
Well, who can say no to the genie bottle?
Oh, yeah. So, thank you so much, Beth Lapidus, and I'll be sure you can find her. Thank you.